page under community events.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, it's The Radio Activist with Suzanne and Lisa Loving with Lisa Loving. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll be joining Flashpoints. 11 o'clock, The Dirtbag will be here. So stay tuned for all this great great programming coming to you on KBOO Portland.
It is 9:01. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is The Radio Activist. I'm Lisa Loving, and I'm with Suzanne LeGrant.
Good morning.
Today at 9, our guest is Giovanni Schern of Up and Over. Then at 9:30, we're with Ben Hodgson and Diana Rempe of Street Books. But I think we have Giovanni on the line right now. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
Yeah!
Good morning.
Welcome.
Giovanni, you do so much, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on this show, Radio Activist, today, is that you're working on a winter coat drive. I hope you're not done yet.
We're not done.
For teenagers.
Usually goes to the second week of January or so.
So, Giovanni, tell us, what's the coat drive for? What does Up and Over do, and why is it important?
So this is our sixth year doing this coat drive, and what makes our coat drive different is we collect sponsorships so we can actually take young people to shop for their own brand new coat. And it started out just as, you know, something we saw a need for, because there are a couple students in our mentoring program about 6 years ago. We saw them waiting for the bus. They didn't have any coats. And so I just, you know, started reaching out to the community through social media and raised enough money and gift cards to actually take 7 youth to go purchase their own coat. And when I say take them, I meet them at usually Burlington or someplace like that, let them do what they want to do, and then I just pay. I kind of stand back. But it's, to me, you know, I've had the hand-me-down, I've had the used, I've shopped at the thrift store. And then I've also had the experience of going in and buying my own things, and I can appreciate that feeling. And for some of these kids, it's the first time they've had anything new, let alone been able to go and pick it out. So I think it's a real confidence booster. But it also, for me, lets these youth know that you deserve this. You're worthy of everything that everyone else is experiencing. So
if you just tuned in, this is The Radio Activist, and we're live on the phone with Giovanni Schern, and she's talking about a project of Up and Over. And Giovanni, I just want people to understand what Up and Over does. You do motivational assemblies for kids. You had this idea. You built it out of thin air, which is what I love about what you do. But talk about Up and Over. What kind of motivational assemblies do you provide for school children?
So yeah, it was kind of let's go into schools and share our stories of getting up and over our obstacles as a way to be the example for young people that they can also do that. And then it just kind of evolved over the years. We started doing workshops for parents, for educators, for youth, and then we started doing mentoring. And so our assemblies really focus on not judging, you know, really taking ownership of making choices and being in control of the decisions that we make. Kind of like what everybody's talking about now, we've been doing for the past 6-7 years. Everyone's just kind of catching up to what we were doing. But I will say the last year or two, the focus has shifted to doing longer term things. So when we do our assemblies, we're kind of in for an hour and we're out. Our mentoring our workshops are like a 6-hour series over the course of a couple weeks. And then, of course, the mentoring also has a time limit. And so I've been working lately to try to work with like Donald E. Long and Oregon Youth Authority to get in and do some long-term mentoring. And when I say our mentoring is a little more than, you know, we're not just going to go to the movies with you or hang out with you. We're really going to sit down and set some goals and help you achieve them. And for a lot of these young people, a goal may be, I don't want to, you know, get into a fight today. Okay, well, what are the barriers that you need to overcome and how can we help you with that? So we really do a lot of hand-holding with our youth. We still do our assemblies. We're just not doing as many as we used to do because, like I said, I want to focus more on long-term effect and long-term involvement with these kids.
Giovanni, one of the questions that I have, so you're with our kids. What are they telling you? What are they worrying about? What are you getting from them? What messages are you getting from them? I want to know.
The biggest thing that I've learned that is really heartbreaking is young people listen. They listen to those around them, the negative and the positive. And so if someone says to a young person, you'll never be anything, that sits with them and that stays with them, and they start to internalize that. And I think as adults we learn to let those things go and really, you know, appreciate who we are. But as young people, they don't have that skill yet, and so they hold on to that. And so our job as adults is to make sure they don't believe those negative things that are being said about them and to them. But that is the biggest thing, like really trying to get them out of that mindset of what people say about you is your truth. You can set those, you know, that path. You are in control of that. But that takes a lot of willpower. It takes a lot of confidence. And so we just try to help build that with the youth.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that, Joanne. If you just tuned in, this is The Radio Activist on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Lisa Loving. My co-host is my beloved friend, Suzanne LeGrand, an incredible person who also does a lot of educating and healing with people. Because, Giovanni, kind of what I hear you saying, the word you're not saying is healing. And one of the things that is interesting to me about, you know, like you said, the kids hear everything. They know everything. Mm-hmm. They know, you know, back in the day when we had to pass school levies just to pay for the education system, those kids knew. When the people in their community voted down their own education, right? So when you, Giovanni, are bringing a bunch of kids and saying, hey, we got contributions to buy you, if I could just say, a kick-ass new coat.
Right.
They're like, you mean someone cared enough to come over here, give you money for me? They're paying attention to that, too. I'm pretty sure I could say that word. I'm pretty sure I could. But I'm just putting that out to you, Giovanni. Now, where do you do the assemblies? What schools? Can you call out some rockin' schools?
We've done King. We've done, Covington. We've done, because we've gone all the way to Washington and everywhere in Oregon. So we've done, like Fir Ridge, David Douglas. We did mentoring at Reynolds.
It's elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools. Is it every level? Am I imagining that?
You're imagining that.
Good.
But eventually we would love to do that. But right now it's middle schools and high schools.
Oh, that's crucial, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, there is a need for the younger grades as well. Just our group of folks feel more comfortable, and the things we say and the stories that we share are more appropriate for little older kids. Because what we do is we go in, we do an exercise that demonstrates it's really hard to look at someone and know anything about them, and then we share our stories. And so really trying to get away from those assumptions that people make about you, whether they're good or bad. You know, people look at me and they assume I graduated high school. They don't know that I didn't and actually went back to college later. So it's a lot of really trying to, like you said, the healing piece. We want these kids to feel empowered, and being able to go pick out your own coat, that is an empowering feeling. And I know to a lot of people it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you've ever had a hand-me-down and then as an adult or later in life was able to go purchase something, you know what we're talking about. There's a certain feeling when you put on those new shoes or that new coat or whatever new thing that you bought for yourself. There's a sense of pride that comes with that a lot of times these kids just don't have, either because they've been beaten down by words or because get new things, because that really doesn't make or break a person. But you know what I'm saying? There's a feeling that comes with having your own, but also being able to make a decision for yourself. Because usually, you know, when you get hand-me-downs or someone buys something for you, you're not present in that decision. You know?
Hey, Giovanni, this is our membership drive. And we need to go to the Palace of Pledge and invite our listeners to invest in this radio station, but it's only going to be for a few minutes, and I want you to hold the line, because you're talking right now about the coat drive for Up and Over, and you're talking about the beauty of purchasing of letting kids buy their own coat. But I know you're little, and I know that you got some secondhand store stuff, and you've got some other stuff that you share with people on the street. You're doing this on different levels, and I want to talk about that in a minute. Your work with mental health communities is groundbreaking. So I want to be able to go back to the Palace of Pledge, and we're going to give them a few minutes, and please, we're going to let you, our listeners right now, know how you can invest in these airwaves so that you can learn what real people are really doing to make the world better. Thanks, and stay tuned.
And thank you, Lisa. We are at Pledge Drive headquarters here at KBOO FM, and your call is appreciated. It's 877-500-5266 is the number to contribute. There's a lot of things like Democracy Now! and Paul Show. You hear about the chaos and the unraveling of the world, and we can name millions of things that are not right. But KBOO is right, and you should support it. And so the number is 877-500-5266. What I mean by that is we can complain about, Comcast raised the bill again, or like whatever company that you get your media from, and then like we are actually for $5 a month, that's a $60 pledge. That would help out greatly. The number is 877-500-5266, and that will help at the show. You're listening to Radio Activist currently. We heard a really good discussion that you don't hear on other media with Wednesday morning talk show about Native American land being auctioned off for oil interests. That is, as somebody else was saying earlier in the pledge, that does not make the New York Times. It just doesn't. And so KBOO is your voice to actually get these issues highlighted and realize that you do have MSNBC, but they're the corporate wing of the Liberal Party, and they'll give you all the little ins and outs of Twitter fights and all sorts of stuff like that. But when it comes to real substantive issues, you're not going to get that anywhere else. So please make your donation. It's 877-500-5266. This is KBOO.FM. We've been bringing these issues on the cutting edge of the community for over since about 1967-ish, and we do need your support. I do have my little, I have a fellow pledge drive person. Oh, she doesn't want to go at all. So we're good here. So 877-500-5266. That's a number to pledge your support for Radio Activists. Basically, that's one of the really cool things about Lisa's shows. She says she's talking about like reusing and waste. And where I work, we're all victims of the capitalist society in some regard. And I work in a place where I sell very expensive items, and then my customers tell me that they'll replace them in 2 years. And it's almost, we produce a lot of waste. And so reuse is a very important topic. It doesn't get talked about quite enough, and it does help out less fortunate people that just can't afford first-hand goods. And so that number is 877-500-5266. That's the weird thing, is there's nothing conservative about conservatism. You just drill everywhere, you take up the worst resources, and wipe your hands of it when it's all done, and just say, oh, we're this mess, not us. So pick up the call, and learning how to actually conserve and the planet is a very important thing, because the rate at which we're going through the Earth's resources is astronomical. And so most people will not say that on other media platforms, KVU.FM and KVU 90.7 FM. We will do that. So your pledge is important. 877-500-5266. And you can support KVU by doing a lot of cool things. You can get the KVU hoodie. The pledge is for $25 a month or $300 for the entire year. And that shows that you support grassroots activism over the FM airwaves. We also have the Democracy Now! T-shirt. That's going to be $120 and then $10 a month. And then you can show your support to community radio. Please call. It's 877-500-5266. This is a really cool thing that we're doing here. As Lisa was saying in the previous pitch, you can come down and say hi to us. I'm new in town. I've only been here since July, and they put me right to work. So that threshold for actually getting involved, it was so much higher at other media places, if at all. Go to Channel 2 or go to Channel 6 and say, hey, I want to help out, and then they'll just laugh at you. So it's KVU.FM 90.7. And the number again is 877-500-5266. And we'll give it back to Lisa.
And thanks for everyone who has called. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is The Radio Activist. I'm Lisa Loving. I'm with my beloved friend Suzanne LeGrand.
Hi.
And we're on the phone with one of the people that I respect and love the most in this activist community. It's Giovanni Shern. Giovanni, you're still there, right?
I am.
Yeah. You have done a lot, literally, from the grassroots level to support people in mental health crisis in our state. We've had you on these airwaves before, talking about how you literally reclaimed your son, your beloved, gorgeous son, from the streets, literally, with the help of a lot of other people. A whole community emerged around that, but you didn't stop there. Okay, you took your experience trying to advocate for your son, and you took that to, let's just say now you're on the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and you're the vice chair of the Hospital Advisory Board at the Oregon State Hospital in Salem. Giovanni, what is happening in the mental health field with our families right now?
I think the biggest thing is housing. The other thing is they are really starting to recognize that substance abuse, addiction, usually go hand in hand with mental illness. So recognizing that those folks also need support. I know at the hospital, unfortunately people think that the hospital has this huge reach, but our reach really only is inside the hospital walls. But I can say that we are working on doing soft handoffs back to counties, or when patients go back into the community. But housing is a big thing. I know that NAMI is working to get, I think it's $25 million again for housing. helping with subsidies, building, buying land, building properties, that type of thing. But the biggest thing is the housing. The other thing is getting folks help and the support they need before they end up in a hospital. Like the prevention of that next step is beginning to come to light, and people are understanding that it's important to, even though they don't meet like a hospital level of care or a residential, you know, lockdown level of care, if we can get them that support beforehand, then we won't need to have people in the hospital. We won't need to have people waiting in emergency rooms, not getting the help that they need, because we will have other programs in place. So
what is the connection? What's the connection between housing and mental health, since that seems to be such a big issue? Like, how are those two related?
So I think a lot of time, I can speak from my experience. So let me do that. With my son, because of his illness, he and his paranoia, he preferred to be outside. It didn't matter how cold it was, if he was hungry. A lot of times, you know, fear, anxiety, paranoia prevents a lot of people from being around other people, from sharing information so they can get into housing, not wanting IDs, not wanting anything where they have to share their personal information. So for me, I think that's a big connection with mental illness and homelessness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people can say, well, it's a choice. Well, it is a choice, but it's a choice being made from a different perspective and a different reality than some of us.
Mm-hmm. And it's me, Lisa, again. It strikes me how these basic infrastructure issues that we have in our society make other issues worse. And that's what I wonder about the housing and mental health issue. I mean, we don't, Jelani, that's why it fascinated me so much that you became, that you're on the board of the Oregon State Hospital, because in so many ways, when we look at how mental health, public health has evolved in the United States, you know, with these, I'm going to say these big, gothic, gigantic, they were called Kirkbride hospitals, just like Oregon State, like from 100 years ago and more, you know, people had this idea that we should put everybody in a big ornate building and something good would happen. And right. It's like we mm-hmm. I mean, we're humans, so we learn by making mistakes. But I wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure if you have an answer to this one, Jelani, but the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, came out, I believe it was this week, or maybe it was late last week, with a proposal that there could be a different kind of facility that's not a jail for people who have mental health problems and stuff like that. Have you tracked that story?
I did see that story. I actually commented a couple times on that story.
What's going on there?
Because there's a lot of misinformation about the hospital. And so, you know, just kind of clearing it up. Like you said, back in the day, they would just put you in the hospital. If you couldn't get a job, if you were homeless, you know, we're just gonna lock you up.
Edgefield.
Public urination. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna put you in the hospital. But there's this big misconception about what goes on at the hospital. Even for me, you know, I got on the board and my first meeting was like, yeah, I'm about to come in here and, you know, we're gonna shake this up. We're gonna fix some things. And I was pleased to see that they know what is needed. I don't think Ted Wheeler knows what's really needed. The feeling that I get is we need to be able to have people with mental illness go someplace other than jail. Okay, but didn't we try that with Unity? So are we going to learn something from that when you do these new programs or buildings or structures? You need compassionate people in there. You need people who understand what mental illness is. You have to, you know, really have some clear ideas of what the outcome is that you want. And I think sometimes it's like, well, there's a lot of homeless people with mental illness, so obviously they need shelter. Okay, they need that, but they also need some other things as well. And if we can get them that support that they need before they end up on the street, then, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we are right now with the homeless situation as it relates to people with mental illness. Let's get them the support they need before they're you know, so far into their illness that we have to really fight just to bring them back to neutral. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get them at neutral and then give them those tools. So I don't know if that, if just providing a facility is the answer. I would like to think that there's more thought going into it than just that.
Hey, Giovanni Schoen, we are ready to close out this segment where we've been talking about you. And now we want you to let our listeners know. We want you to let all of us know. How do we support you? What do we need to do? Let's start with the coat drive. How do we connect with you if we want to buy a coat for one of your incredible young people? What do we do?
Go to the website. It's www.upandover.net. And then you'll see a tab that says how to help. And then it goes straight to our coat drive. And there's a link there where you can sponsor a coat. We ask for $50, but you can do $5. You can do $500. You can do whatever you like. And I will say every dime of that goes towards the coat. Nothing goes to Up and Over or me or the administration or
the gas
like
or anything. Taking the kids there.
Or gas. Yeah, it doesn't go to gas. It all goes to purchase coats.
Now, can we help? Like, just in a few, in a minute or less, can we help you in your work around the state hospital? Can we help make the Oregon State Hospital a safe place? How can we help you with your mental health advocacy?
If you'd like to contact me on that same site, www.upandover.net, just go to the contact form. What's helpful for me is when people who are experiencing things in the community that I've not experienced and they share that with me, that's stuff that I can take back to these advocacy meetings and take back to these work groups and take back to the board, and so decisions can be made. I will say this, if you are concerned about health, the homeless, do something. You don't necessarily have to be out in the streets or always donating money, but at least let your voice be heard somewhere, so I can take that back to these various committees I'm on and really try to make some changes.
Awesome. Giovanni Schoen, it's always a joy. Thanks
Thank
again
Thank
for being
so
on
much.
The air.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
All right.
you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Live Radio. This is KBOO Community Radio. My name is Lisa. I'm here with my friend Suzanne. Now we're going to talk with my sister, Jenka.
Hi, Lisa. I don't know. I can sort of see you across the studio there. We're here in Membership Central. This is our membership drive. This is the second day of just 5 days of this very short membership drive where we're asking for your support. We come to you, the listener, a few times a year and ask for you to support this radio station. You always come through. This is the way this radio station is funded. We don't have big corporate overlords telling us what we can and can't put on the radio. No, we have 5,000 of you that join KBOO as members, and we want you to be a member right now. If you are already a member, we're asking you to renew your membership. If you do the $60 level or above, that's $5 a month. We've got a brand new KBOO tote bag to offer you. We're hearing about the mentoring of young people, the needed support for the houseless people in our community, that you're listening to the Radio Activist, and we need your support right now. We need you to take that phone out of your pocket. Call this number, 877-500-5266. You can do it by phone. You can also go online, kboo.fm. The form looks a little different than you might be used to. It is because we're doing this through the Give Guide. You get special incentives. We get the added bonus of having more people under 35. If you're under 35, you get special prizes. So do it right now, kboo.fm, or give us a call, 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka. I'm here this morning with Layla.
Hey there. You know, at KBOO, we're not afraid of talking about complicated issues or having strong opinions and heated debates. In fact, you know, we jump right into those conversations because we know that they can help you as the community learn and grow and strengthen our movement.
It's movement building radio right here.
You
this
know,
is radio for social change.
Exactly. And we know you're open to hearing something that might challenge your own beliefs, as we all are here here, so just make sure to call in at 877-500-5266 and donate, become a member, or you can go online at kboo.fm/give.
Yeah, we've been listening to the group Up and Over, and we're trying to get up and over our goal right now for this show. We need $300, so we need five of you to give $5 a month. That is a contribution that I think is doable for many of us. If you can just pledge $5 a month to KBOO, it makes such a big difference for our community, for your community, for you to be a part of something that's larger than yourself and that is making an impact right now. You can do it. It's very easy to set up, and it is fairly painless. $5 a month, 877-500-5266. And then you can sport this tote bag around town and show that you are a supporter of KBOO. And that opens up conversations, and it opens up the community.
You also get some sweet hoodies and jackets and hats and books and a whole bunch of goodies that you can put in your tote bag if you donate.
Yeah, and you can hear all about it if you talk to one of our volunteers. We've got volunteers sitting back here. See, we've got Rolf. We've got, hi, guys. And this is a community effort. You can come down and check it out. You can see our palatial digs, our penthouse suites, or not.
We have
the
coffee.
Opposite of that. We've got coffee. We've got a great group of people here. This is your friends and neighbors. This is the radio station made by and for the people. So come on down and see us. 20 Southeast 8th. Bring a contribution. Bring your jar. A change. We take small denominations, large denominations, any amount that you're able to give. This is KBOO. This is community radio where everyone pitches in and does what they can. This is very unique on the radio dial, and it's a relatively endangered breed right now on the radio. If you turn a radio dial, you will not find many non-commercial radio stations left on the dial. KBOO survives because of listener support. We need you to support it right now. If you listen to this station occasionally, maybe you listen every day, maybe you listen every now and then, but you support the effort and you support the work that KBOO does and the fact that KBOO has a space on the radio for people to come on and learn and be connected to the community and to share information that is essential to social change right here in Portland, then call right now and support it. Whatever amount you're able to do, I would urge you $5 a month. If you can do $10 a month or $20 a month, that goes that much further. The hoodie you can get for a $25 a month contribution. The tote bag, just $5 a month contribution. And they are pretty, pretty dope. If you look at our website, you can see what they look like, kboo.fm, or you can come on down, check it out, 20 Southeast 8th. But we want to hear those phones ringing. We want to hear the radio activists getting this support from the community as this show supports the community. So call right now, 877-500-5266.
And everyone involved with KBOO gives what they can, be it time or money or, you know, just support. And so we need you to join us in this important work. Enact positive change right now. Please give us a call. Please.
The number again,
877-500-5266.
We want to thank James from Milwaukee and Candace from Portland. And we want to thank Elizabeth from Beaverton, who are all contributors to KBOO now. And you can join them. We have a new system on our phones. So our volunteers, if they have a little trouble, just call back and give us have a little patience with us. We're learning this, doing it digitally as opposed to paper. We're moving into the 21st century and now that it's 2018. So bear with us and do give a call. 877-500-5266. Just say hi, you know, check out your community and pledge $5 a month. It's really easy to do. You don't need a penny in your pocket right now. You can just say, yes, I can budget $5 a month for community, for this University of the Airwaves where the tuition is whatever I choose to give. 877-500-5266. Get yourself one of these sweet thank you gifts and support the work that that brings community together here at KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Also online, kboo.fm. Show your support for the radio activist, radio making social change right here in your community. 877-500-KBOO.
Hi there. So we are back with the radio activist. I'm Suzanne LeGrand, and this is my co-host, Lisa Loving, here today.
Hello.
And we are talking today with Diane Rempe and Ben Hogson of Street Books. So could you first tell us a little bit about what Street Books is?
Hey, thank you, Suzanne. So I'm Diana Rempe, and Street Books is a bicycle-powered mobile library for people living out on the street.
Wait, say that again.
So we're a bicycle-powered mobile library for folks who are living out on the street in Portland, Oregon. So people who are marginalized, who might not be able to access the traditional Multnomah County system for any number of reasons. Let's say you have accrued a bunch of fines because your backpack got taken in a sweep, and so you couldn't return your library book. Or maybe you don't have an address, so you can't easily get a library card. Or maybe you're undocumented and walking through into the downtown library past a security guard doesn't feel like the safest option for you. So there's lots of different reasons why people can't access the library easily, even though Multnomah County, I want to make a pitch for the county library system, does an amazing job.
It is an amazing library system. So this is interesting. So how does it work? How does somebody get access to books on the street through the street library?
All they have to do is show up. We have the book bike there. It has a pull-out drawer on it. It has maybe 100, 120 books in there. We're limited in our selection, but we can still get a little bit of everything in there.
It's a great big rack on a bike. Is that what you're saying? It's a great big rack on a bike.
Yeah, so we have two bikes. We have a trike, which is an old Haley trike that was that Laura Moulton, who's the founder of Street Books, and I can tell you a little bit. We can talk a little bit about how Street Books was founded in a minute. But so we have a trike that we pull up. It has a custom box on the front, and you can open it up, and it has a drawer, and it turns into a little library. And then the fine people at Splendid Cycles over in Southeast, Barb and Joel, gave us a bullet bike, which is a faster, sleeker sort of cargo bike built, I believe, in Copenhagen is where they're from. And then my neighbor, Jeff Lawton of Badger Bikes, built us a custom box for that. And that way we can get a little further. So we can take that, you know, out to meet people where they are. And it opens up and it is a library too.
A lot of people ask us if we have any ice cream in there because it looks like an ice cream vendor's bike.
Yeah, and sometimes they're disappointed.
And where do you go on this bicycle? I mean, do you go all over Portland? Do you have a route?
We have about four different locations that we routinely set up out in front of Red Doors, the Blanchet House, St. Francis,
Trinity Cathedral.
Trinity Cathedral.
The Worker Center, the Day Laborer Center over at Vos, which is like right around the corner from where we are here at KBOO. What is that? Davis and MLK. One important thing is that we go to the same place at the same time every week so that people can count on us. We want people to know where they can find us and that we'll be there and we're reliable. One of the things we do is we take requests. And so if people request a book and we don't have it, as Ben said, we have a limited selection because of space, we'll go back and we'll try to find the book either at an independent bookstore in town or sometimes we end up having to order it, but we try really hard to keep our book selection local also.
So where do these books come from? I mean, is this, are they bought with donations or how does that work?
They're all donated. Uh-huh. Except for the requests. We try to get the economical books if it's a request, five or under. But mostly they're all donated, and we got all kinds of donors that like what we do, and they're happy to donate their books.
Yeah, and so just to add on to that, so often people will donate hardback books, and we aren't able to use hardback books as regularly as we do paperbacks because people don't want to carry around a hardback book, and it's heavy on the bike. And so if we get a load of hardback books as a donation, we'll let people know that we're going to try to resell them generally at Powell's to get credit in order to buy requests.
Mm-hmm. So how did this idea get started?
One day, Laura had this really bright idea. She said to herself, hey, I think I'll go ride my bike around and see if anybody wants to read these books. And people did want to read the books. She was surprised. And for 8 years now, they've been wanting to read the books. She started out all by herself with one book bike down by Skidmore Fountain. That's where I first met her. I was living outside when I first became a Street Books client.
What was that like? I mean, here this woman arrives and says, hey, I have some books. Do you want to read them? You know, from the perspective of, you know, having lived on the street, how did you experience this idea of a mobile library?
Ostensibly, street books are for people who can't use the regular library. But if you look at it a certain way, which I do, it's actually better than the library.
Ah.
Here's what you get. In the first place, you don't have to go to the library. The library comes to you. And in this library, they don't have any quiet please signs. You can talk all you want. It's even encouraged. And just having something to do to kill the time of day when you're living outside, just to get your mind off your troubles, it makes a difference. It makes it a little bit more livable.
See, that's what I was going to ask, because, you know, we think about, you know, food, shelter, basic, you know, necessities. We don't think about books or other things, but it's interesting that you said it made life more livable. And is that important to have things that, you know, apart from food, that make life more livable?
The life of the mind is not the exclusive province of the housed and comfortable.
Yeah,
there's a lot of brain power out there. A lot of us just sitting around not doing much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's so important. One of the things I love about street books is that it's a reminder, a visual reminder to people who are walking down the sidewalk who might be not living outside, or might be a housed person and they're down at work on like an old town. And they come walking down the street, and it's this reminder that people are full human beings, whether they're living inside or outside, and that we all, certainly we need, you know, the hierarchy of needs, I think, is a problem, because it's not really a hierarchy. We need different things at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But we always need a connection with another human being around an idea or something we have in common. And a book really provides that commonality. And so people walking by will see people reading or see people engaged in conversation. And I think it really helps to get rid of the kind of stigma that a lot of housed people carry about people living outside.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You said it provides connection with another human being. And I imagine that's both the other human being that's the writer of the book, as well as the other human being that's the person that you have a conversation with about the book. Does it spark conversations?
Oh yeah. Do you mean with people outside or inside or
both?
Yeah, I mean the conversations that we have both with our regular patrons, with folks that come upon us, and with each other, and then it's amazing. Like I'm trying to think of the best way to say this, but I feel like some of the conversations I've had with people outside around books have been as fruitful or as inspiring as any that I had in the classroom when I was teaching, or, you know, in different settings around the dinner table. They're just another space for conversation. And it's really a reclaiming of the streets, too, a reminder to people that these are our streets, everybody's streets. And these exclusions that we do, where we say that the sidewalks are only available for certain people doing certain things. I mean, I think street books really serves to interrupt that and to remind people that, no, these are the streets for where we have civic life. And we're all citizens, whether we are lucky enough to have a roof over our head consistently or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think in that way it's really important.
It's interesting because in one sense, houses can isolate us from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Never would have thought of that. In doing this work, and now, Ben, you have been a patron, and now you're also a street librarian now. What have you learned in doing this work as a street librarian?
I'm not sure what to say to that, but a very entertaining thing happened on one of our shifts toward the end of the season. People talking to each other and not just to us. A guy recited Shel Silverstein's The Perfect High. He went on for a good 5 minutes, and he kept the whole crowd entertained for the whole poem.
Yeah, I've loved, like, sometimes especially when we were out in downtown, we used to be on the waterfront a little bit, and people would come by running with their earbuds in, and they would, you know, be really studiously ignoring all of the people that were on the sidewalk or out on the benches, you know. But then they'd see our bike, and they'd kind of get excited by that, and they'd stop and take out their earbud, and they'd see, and then they'd often end up in conversation with the person who was there with their backpack looking for whatever book they were looking for. One person would pick it up, the other person would sort of say, oh yeah, I read that book. And that interaction happened that would never happen at another time, or would, you know, would be very rare.
It just, it's me, Lisa. It just strikes me that we're all humans.
Mm-hmm.
We're all fellow travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving people an opportunity. You're giving us an opportunity to just touch that.
Yeah, it's just it's just a reminder of that our circumstances don't change us at our core. That even though we are, some people are far luckier than other people.
Can I ask another question? Do you have a bestseller list? I mean, is there a book that did everybody love Cheryl Strayed's memoir Wild, or was there one that just jumped off the charts?
We can't keep any Louis L'Amour books on the shelves. As many as we get, they all go out. And all of the popular
authors. Now, Louis L'Amour is Western, right?
Yeah, these are Western novels from the 50s, right? From the 50s.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah.
People love Louis. They'll take two or three of them because they're small. But I think that's a good question, Lisa. People outside, just like people inside, have a variety of reading tastes. Like, it's really stunning, just like it is when you're sitting around your dining table talking to friends. And so we try to keep a wide variety on the bike, but every summer it changes what's popular, you know? So, one year we couldn't keep the James Pattersons on the bike. Like, somebody wanted to read James Patterson all the time.
Thrillers. Those are thrillers.
Yeah. Thrillers, science fiction, like Ursula K. Le Guin died, and Ursula K. Le Guin was very popular for a little while.
Please go read The Lathe of Heaven.
Go ahead. Yes.
We love books.
We have that on the bike right now. If
what?
You come down.
Really?
Yes, we do.
This guy, every time he dreams, his dreams become real, and then a bad guy figures out that that's happening. And that's the plot. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's not too much of a spoiler. You will still enjoy the book.
Some of the obvious names, John Grisham, Stephen King, they just, as soon as we get them, they go out.
Isabel Allende. Ben and I were talking on the way over here about different library patrons, regular patrons, and their reading tastes. And I have at the Trinity Shift on Wednesdays, which at Trinity Cathedral serves a really lovely meal every Wednesday, and we join them. There's a fellow named Jose who's been coming every week for 2 years that I've been there, and he checks out one book every week and reads it, then brings it back. And these are in Spanish, but he's reading Gabriel Garcia Marquez. He'll be reading Isabel Allende, Sandra Cisneros. I mean, I have a lot of Spanish titles, but he wants fine literature. He reads Carlos Fuentes. He reads, loves political theory, but I can't keep that on the bike because it's so popular, especially in Spanish.
Political theory is popular on the bike?
In Spanish.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
I mean, I think it is. I mean, people really love nonfiction. People love political theory. I think because, look at the world around us, and people are engaged regardless.
Yeah. And so how does it work? You go to these different locations with the books and people check them out. How long do they check them out, and how do you get them back?
I told them, if you keep it longer than 3 weeks, you're going to have to do a book report. And their eyes get real wide, and they just want to run and hide. They go, you can't mean that. I said, no, I didn't mean it. I just wanted to see you freak out for a minute.
So what Ben's alluding to is that we have a very flexible return policy. We figure that people have, you know, are they're often, our experience has been is that they are often really inclined to want to return the book, and circumstances can get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. So people who will check out books and can't return them often will come up and say, I'm really sorry, this happened. You know, my backpack was stolen. I got rained on. And we were like, no, you can always have a book. So there's a very loose checkout policy.
And yet, I read that you actually have an excellent return rate.
We have a pretty good return rate considering the population. And really, it varies, you know, considering the circumstances of people's lives. It varies from place to place. But yeah, like at Trinity, maybe we get 4 to 7 books back every week, and maybe we check out 20. Between 20 and 40. So it's a small percentage, but I think a pretty good and regular percentage, especially from our regular patrons. We always get our books back. With some exceptions, there's a lovely person at Trinity who lives inside in a low-income housing place that there are a lot of seniors and shut-ins there. And so he's taken it upon himself to create a library in his building. And so he comes and he takes out maybe 6 to 8 books every week, brings them for people that are there, set up a really nice library and reading glasses for them. And then he'll come and bring some back and exchange them. But often those just kind of stay out and live in the building for other people to have.
So how is it that people can support the work that you do?
Ben?
Well, there's the obvious thing. We do accept cash donations.
Exactly.
And they keep donating the books, without which nothing.
Yeah. One of the things that we could talk about is we've expanded a lot over the past 8 years. So we've been around for 8 years. Laura started it as a what was envisioned as a 3-month art project, RAC, the Regional Arts and Council,
Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Thank you. Funded this 3-month library, 3-month art project that she was doing. And at the end of 3 months, the date that was supposed to be the last shift, she came up and here was this fellow who had been there regularly holding his book, and she realized that this was not a project that was meant to end. And so we slowly grew. I came in a couple of years after that, or a year or two after that, and then we just slowly grew, and another person, Red, has been there a long time. But for a while, we were just like the three of us doing library shifts, and then Ben started coming along for library shifts, and we got bigger and bigger, and now we have... we have 3 staff members. We have our first office inside, which is really cool. We've kind of gotten to move inside so we can offer winter programming. So we don't bring the bike out from November through May because it doesn't work really well with paperbacks and rain. We tried that one winter and it was kind of a disaster. But anyway, and so we're doing winter programming all year round. And so people can help us with volunteering to help us with winter programming. We're under the bridges once a month, under the Hawthorne Bridge with Potluck in the Park and Home PDX. We partner with them. We do stuff with Sisters of the Road during the winter months. I continue to do the Trinity Wednesday shift because I can go inside and do it in the meal right there. So there's lots of volunteer opportunities for time. We're going to have an event at City Hall this year, which we're really excited about, in May. And so, yes, money, yes, book donations, yes, time donations. Any of those things are really greatly appreciated at Street Books.
And tell us where, if people are interested in donating money or time, they can go.
You can go to streetbooks.org, www.streetbooks.org, and there's a donation button there. You can sign up to be a monthly sustainer, which we really, as KBOO knows, could really use. You can come to our physical location, which is in the St. Francis Park Apartments. So we've done a library shift at St. Francis Dining Hall on Southeast 11th. And we've done that for about 6 or 7 years. And so when they built an apartment complex, they're a low-income apartment complex, they asked us if we'd like to be housed there, which was really exciting. And so we are at 1177 Southeast Stark, and I can repeat this again, where we have book drop-off times on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 to 1.
So that's a place where people can donate or drop off books that they want to donate.
Yeah, and that information is all on our website, which is just the best place to start.
Mm-hmm. What is it that people, listeners, people maybe who don't know much about the houseless need to understand?
Ben?
It's a hard way to live. It's just a real rough way to go. remember back in the 60s and 70s, and there was VW bands with plastic flowers on them, and it was groovy. And if you look down at the sidewalks out in front of Sisters, groovy is just not the word that you would use to describe it. It looks a little bit sad.
Well, and I think that's really important. It's that people often talk about this idea of choice, like, oh, that person chose to go out onto the street. And I want to say emphatically that no one chooses to live outside, and that there's people create community wherever they go. And it is amazing and remarkable to me, the community that has been created out on the streets of Portland. That said, that is not what people want to do. That it's not something that they're actively seeking. And I think it's really important to remember that this issue of houselessness, of people experiencing houselessness, is a relatively new phenomenon. That it is not something, it's really a post-Reagan, or it's a Reagan and post-Reagan phenomenon that was created. It's not something that just happened and it's a natural thing.
It's not normal.
No. This is something that was created through our policies in the United States. And we can talk more about that if we want, but it's very important to remember that and to stop blaming individuals for what's happening out on the streets of Portland. Yeah.
We have a few minutes left, and we have a beloved friends in the Palace of Pledge. I want to take this minute, though, and close out this show, because I know people are close to you. People are calling back there. They want to know who you are and what you're doing. So I want to take this moment right now to say thanks to everyone for listening. Keep listening, because we're going to give you an opportunity to get active. But we really, really, really want to thank our awesome guests, Ben Hogson and Diana Rempe of Street Books, for being
here
today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Really want to also thank Giovanni Schern with her work Up and Over. And if next time, you guys are going to be in the same room at the same time, and you're going to go, what? Wow. So this is a radio activist. Get with Up and Over at upandover.net. Or look for them on social media. Reach StreetBooks at streetbooks.org. I want to thank our engineer, Tammy Dean. Also, the KBOO volunteer coordinator is Ani Haynes. Radical inclusion is her game. Contact her to be a volunteer at this station. Volunteer at KBOO.fm. You could be behind this mic. Where are you at right now, okay? We are radioactive, and stay tuned. Get involved. Thanks for listening. Hey, Jenka.
Yes, Lisa, we are here.
Take us home.
And we are home in KBOO, and we want KBOO to be your home as well, here in the community, in the heart of Portland. Come down and join the station. This is our holiday membership drive. It's just a 5-day drive. We're trying to raise $30,000. If you're the hero and can do a $2,000 contribution or a $5,000 contribution, do it up. If you can do $5 a month, that's where the majority of the costs of this station are paid for, by members giving $5 a month or $10 a month. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's been going since 1968. We're keeping it going right now with your support. If you've never done anything like this before, we urge you to do it now. And that way you support this show and you support this station. So call the number. It's 877-500-5266. Join your fellow travelers on this journey of knowledge, information, and social justice. 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka. I'm here in the studio with Layla.
You know, these conversations happen here thanks to your financial support, the support of our listeners. So contribute now. All it takes is $5 a month, $10 a month. That's a coffee, you know. Just give up one coffee a month and you can support us. And, you know, contribute to support a radio that doesn't shy away from difficult topics or differing opinions, which you can't really get in the mainstream media. So call 877-500-5266 or donate online at kboo.fm/give.
Yeah, the idea of a debate on CNN or even CBS, NBC is pretty narrow in the perspective of what the sides are. KBOO, we go outside of the box. We've got people of radical perspectives, very various types. And we're not afraid to really engage in debate and discussion. And right here on the airwaves, there's a space to talk about issues freely. And no matter what your political bent, if you appreciate the fact that there is a space on the airwaves that is still democratic and that is run by and for the people, we urge you to support it right now, because it is not something that is funded by some big corporate donor. It is supported by you, the listeners who decide to take that step and to support this radio station. We need just $200 more in the next 2 minutes. That's just two of you giving $100. And you could do that as a monthly contribution. It makes it a lot easier. You don't have to do it all at once. So please help us reach our goal. Call right now, 877 877- 500-5266 and support this station in the next 2 minutes and reach this goal. We know you can get your news from the internet, but sorting through what's relevant and important is extremely difficult in this day and age. KABU is a place where we learn from history, where we stop our society from making the same mistakes, where we organize for social change on the radio. It's more important than ever to support community news organizations like KABU because we are few and far between and we need your support to keep going. So call right now, 877-500-5266. That number, if you need to hold it in your head for a moment and pull over, it's 877-500-KABU. Just remember the number, 877-500-KABU. We need your support right now to keep this station strong.
KABU's public affair programs cover, you know, a wide variety of issues that impact you and the people around you. Between shows like Disability Awareness, QTPOC Talk, The Food Show, Pacific Underground, Black Book Talk, so many more. We need your help to keep these running and your support. And we love you, so show your love to us. Call 877-500-KABU. That's 5266. Donate online, kboo.fm/give.
You're listening to Radio Activists, and you've been hearing about this traveling library that lends books to people that are living on the street. I mean, this is something that you're not hearing about. It's hard to find this kind of information. It really is. You can get news on the internet, but you can't really sort through it and find out what's relevant, what's happening right here in your community. You get that from KABU. You connect with people on a human-to-human level. How rare is that in today's society of mechanization, robocalls, and spam? Here at KABU, we're real people. You call us, and a real person picks up the phone. You come and see us, and a real person is there. And we're here for you, and we need you to be here for us. Right now, in the next minute, call that number, 877-500-5266. Be the hero for community radio. Put us over the top for the goal for this hour. $200 is all we need. 877-500-5266. 877-500-KABU.
Thanks, Jenka. Thanks, Layla. Stay tuned. It's 10 o'clock and time for Flashpoints after a couple of announcements. KBOO Portland.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by F&B Cafe and Catering, with three cafe locations at Eastside Exchange on 123 Northeast 3rd Avenue, Pearl Art House on 804 Northwest Cooch Street, and Markram Hill on 3460 Southwest U.S. Veterans Hospital Road. They also offer catering throughout Portland. Lunch provided by Atlas Pizza, located at 3570 Southeast Division Street and open 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. or later every day. Dinner provided by Chameleon Restaurant, a restaurant located in the Hollywood District at 2000 Northeast 40th Avenue. Serving primarily organic dishes, Chameleon Restaurant is open Wednesday to Saturday from